Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Okay. Now when the Bible is talking about the covering, basically it was talking about authority. It was talking about what? Authority. Now, the head of a man is what? Is Christ. The head of Christ is God. The head of a woman is who? Is a man. Every woman that pray without covering dishonored her husband. Okay? The person is dishonored is who? Is the husband. It's so clear. In other words, if I ask my wife, when you are going to church, will they cover your head? And she did not cover her head. She has dishonored me. There's no doubt about that. She has not committed sin against God. But she has dishonored my authority. She has violated my authority. Two things could happen. It's either I raise a standard of judgment against her and say, okay, for you doing this, you are not going to have house keep. Do you understand? I used to give 10,000 naira. I ask you to do something, you are not doing it. For this reason, I'm not giving you money. As a matter of fact, you are not going to have money to do your hair again. Do you understand? You know, you have to understand this pattern. That's judgment. Because she has dishonored me. She has disobeyed me. She has disregarded my instruction. And so I have absolute right to raise a standard of judgment against her. But it's obeying me. Do you understand? Another aspect of it is that I can say, God, look at this woman. I said she should cover her hair, and she has not covered her hair. I want you to visit her out of wickedness. Praise God. And God can ask me and say, okay, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to kill her? Do you understand? So we are talking about, what we are saying here is, all of this thing is about authority. It's about authority. It's about submission. It's about submission. So, it depends on what I want from her. Cover your hair. She must cover it. Don't cover your hair. She has not committed sin against God. Do you understand that? Because it's between me and her. It's between me and her. Dishonor her husband. Not God. Dishonor our husband. So if I say, well, I am not dishonored by opening of your head, God does not have issue with that. Now, coming to the young one, praise God, there are major issues concerning you. Of course, you are under the authority of your parents. You are also under the authority of your pastors. Do you understand? You are also under the authority of your pastors. So two of them could dictate what to do with your head. Do you understand that? Two of them could dictate what to do with your head. See, if the church says cover your head, please cover it. It is, don't say it's not written in the Bible. If you know it is not written in the Bible, leave the church and go to the place where they permit such. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you don't just say, it's not written in the Bible, and you are disobeying the authority. It's about authority. Once you disobey authority, God will visit you with judgment. There's no doubt about that. So you really need to understand this thing, that it hinges on authority. It hinges on submission to authority. And once you violate the authority, There's judgment. Praise God. Okay. Pastor said it's okay. I think it's clear to everybody. The fourth person.
Praise God. Okay, I need a better understanding. You know, in John 3:5, when Jesus and Nicodemus were having a conversation, it was like, except a man is born of spirit, of the water and spirit. So I understand that, okay, with 1 Corinthians 2:11-12, we were talking about, I understand the concept of the spirit, but I want a better understanding on that of water. Like what the water aspect.
Amen. Well, I will say it from the past, from what I've known till now. Of course, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I know that's not water baptism. And one of the things, because we have to look at allegories. What does water in scripture, what picture does water talk about in the scripture? And one of the places we have, if you look at Ephesians chapter 5, was talking about Christ. Let's take it from verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. He said that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. We know there is no water anywhere. Now here he says he's using, you know, the same way you use water to cleanse something, in the same way as Christ will use the word to cleanse, you know, John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Let's look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus was talking to the disciples. Look at verse 3. John 15:3 says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. He said, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken. So how did Jesus make them clean? He used the word. So there is a dimension of the word that is used to cleanse. And now you also take note that baptism is done where there is water. That's why when Jesus was living in Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world and teach, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, baptism is coming after teaching. Now, there is a way have you heard of when people are indoctrinated? Have you heard the word before? Yes, someone has been indoctrinated. What does it mean? It means that person has been taught so much that those teachings have already, is a baptism. The person has been swallowed up by those teachings such that the person cannot reason outside of the circumference of the things that he has been taught. So there is something that is called baptism of the word. And that's water. So my own understanding of this scripture is that it takes, you know, an interplay of the ministry of the word with the working of the Holy Spirit to bring that entrance. So as we are being taught, and then the Holy Ghost is doing the leading part of it too, the two of them comes together to work out, you know, and that's how we come about the nature of God that we are talking about. So when he says that, except the man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's talking about a kind of baptism. He's talking about an immersion. This is not water baptism here. He's talking about the word. Water talks about the word. Even Moses said in Deuteronomy chapter 33, he said, my word, let's look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 33. Is it 33? I don't think it's 33. Yes. 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Give ear, verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Here you are seeing again that.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Have you heard when people talk about you dealing with symptoms and not the root of a problem? You've heard that before. They say you are dealing with the branches, you've not dealt with the root. Now, when man sinned, something happened to him. And when God came to solve the problem, where do you think God will go? The root. Praise God. So, the clue to this solution, to this problem, is, can we go to the book of Hebrews? I think it's chapter 9. It says, if the blood of goats and bulls I don't have my glasses, so I can't even start looking at anything. Where is it? Give me, project it quickly, somebody. Hebrews 13. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, continue, how much more shall the what? Who through who? Offered himself without spot to God. Do what? From what? So God did not go to the branches. Where did he go to? In other words, what happened to Adam? His conscience died. It was there that Jesus went to deal with the problem. The blood is for the purging of what? The conscience. Because it's from the conscience that dead works come out from. You remember Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaking. It's from the heart that evil emanates, not from your spirit. Am I talking to you? The Bible says the soul that sinneth. You don't sin in your spirit. You sin in where? In your heart. Your soul sins. And it's in the heart. But that is where it all comes from. And so God went to where it emanates from. The conscience. And it's from that place that they purge you from dead works. That you can serve. Adam was unable to serve the living God as he should serve. So the spirit, the word of God says, the blood of Jesus that was offered by the power of the eternal spirit purged your conscience from dead works. And I said here that the kingdom of God is a seed that is sown where? In the heart. Because it's from the heart everything is coordinated. Praise the Lord. You are not praising God, but God is praised. You have, these are things that people have thought and thought, but look, we can be sincerely wrong, just like we are wrong on rapture. Many years ago, somebody said, Pastor Adeboye is preaching it, Pastor Bishop Adeboye is preaching it. I said, yeah, they didn't write the Bible. Am I talking to you? I respect them, but they are wrong. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. Rapture will not happen the way they say it will happen. And rapture is one of the doctrines that is anti this kingdom mentality. Do you understand? Those are part of the concepts that Satan has sown into the earth. And we have taken it and we are running it to where that God did not set it in place. Paul said, of course, one of the components of that rapture, he said, we will not see the Antichrist. Before he comes, we will just be taken away. I said, show me in the Bible where they wrote that. Nobody has shown me till today. Paul wrote, he said, concerning the coming of Jesus, and our being gathered together with him. Is that not the rapture? He said, that day will not come. Except there were fools. There have been a falling away first. And the son of perdition is what? Revealed. So what must come before Jesus is coming back? The son of perdition will be revealed. So that means the church will see him when he manifests. You'll be here. The church will be here. We'll be here fully on ground. The Holy Ghost is not going anywhere. So these are part of teachings that we have to pay attention to. And it's simply because many of you have not learned the principle of biblical interpretation. You don't know how to interpret scriptures. Just like Pastor Ogi explained to us about the meaning of the word, the water, the issue of water, and he had brought 2-3 scriptures to explain it, that establishes doctrine. Praise God. But you cannot establish doctrine based on one scripture. Just like those of you who have done technical drawing, you do not draw a straight line with one point. Am I telling the truth? You can't draw one straight line with a point. You need at least how many? 2. So the Bible says in the amount of 2 or 3, you draw your straight line. So in a place where you have only one scripture, say, Paul said, I pray that your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. Does not teach about the nature of man. It was just a prayer. Amen. I said, it was just what? A prayer. It's not a teaching. Hallelujah. But let me explain this for the sake of those who need further explanation. Kenyon and Agin lived in a time where we had a mindset of materialism. People felt that man was just a material being. He lives here and he dies like an animal, and that is where he ends. And they needed to prove that man is more than this physical body. There is something that is immaterial, which they called spirit. Not necessarily because it is spirit. Are you with me? For us, when we say the spirit realm, what do you understand by that analogy? The unseen world. Abi? But do you know that even in the unseen world, there are many realms? So when you are defining the unseen world, you have to be specific as to what you are speaking about. In the unseen world, there's a realm of the Holy Ghost, and there are the realms of the fallen angels. They don't live in the same realm. But though they are the same unseen realm, but they are not in the spirit realm. In the realm of the Holy Ghost, Satan does not operate there. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The physical world can be divided into two, the air and the ground. And the water. They are all physical. But you cannot live in those three realms at the same time. So for us, we are made to live on the earth, on the ground. The birds are made to operate in the air. The fishes are made to operate underneath the waters. But we are all in the physical. Do you follow me? So it is this lack of proper understanding of the makeup of creation that is causing these problems. You now understand what the scripture says, that those who abandoned conscience made the shipwreck of what? Their faith. It was not that they did not believe God, but the fundamental foundation of their life, which is where? Their conscience. They destroyed everything they believed. So conscience is the key that unlocks man. So based on this, I can tell you that what died in Adam was his conscience. His ability to know what is good. Remember, it was about knowing. So when you eat the fruit, what will happen? You will know. That's where knowledge is. That's where it emanates. What they call real knowledge is in the conscience. The knowledge of good and evil is where? In the conscience. That is where death took place. That's where it came out from and spread over everywhere. And so you must understand that this issue of spirit, soul, and body, I don't know, some people just choose. They just choose to be confused. But listen to me. I've made up my mind. What I can't find in the Bible, I'm not taking. Is that okay? I stand with the Word of God. And so we need to realize that the Word of God is our authority. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Reverend, you are welcome, sir. How was your night? Praise God. This is another question. This one is directed to me. But I'm not going to say so much about it. Pastor Sheyi said, our spirit is not perfect. Sir, please share more light. That has been answered. But I also want to add to this, that we must not come into a safe mode where we are comfortable with sin. And we feel that whatever we do with our body does not have an impact in our spirit. Praise God. Do you understand? Because the essence of all this agitation is for us to go into lasciviousness and feel comfortable that yes, I'm still saved. After all, my spirit is saved. Do you understand? Whether it is spirit, soul, do you understand? What is important is that, do you have this virtue of faith? Do you have this virtue of faith? And I think we should know that there are certain things that is not permitted, is not allowed in the kingdom. Once we can abstain from that, whether spirit, soul, body, is not important. What is important is that those things that are not permitted in the kingdom, we should align ourselves unto it. Praise God. Now, there's another question to Pastor Sheyi. He says, sir, Pastor Sheyi talked about the stones of fire that Lucifer walked on are angels. Sir, I need more light. Oh, it's the one that will give you light. It's not me. So give them light.
Praise the Lord. Scriptures are very... You see, when prophets saw things, and when prophets say things, they speak in allegories sometimes. It is within the context of what he's saying that you know whether this is plain speech or an allegory. Are you with me? When the prophet was speaking, he was speaking from eternal past. God speaking said, did you not walk among the stones of fire? Are you with me? They are not literal stones. Just like Pastor said that the precarnate Christ was a rock. And the rock followed them for 40 years. Do you think it was like Kilimanjaro? It was not Kilimanjaro. If Kilimanjaro was following them, today they were in Sinai, tomorrow they were in Ijori, and they saw the same rock yesterday in Mount Sinai, and then they got to Ijori, they saw the same rock. Shouldn't you sit there and ask yourself, what is going on? Do you follow me? No, it was not a physical rock. It was not a physical rock. But the person, the Bible says, struck the rock and it got them water. Now, Jesus is the one, God that says, strike the rock. He was the one who was on that rock, in that rock that brought the water out. So, essentially, he was the rock. So, if you struck water in Idore and you got to Ikare, and you struck rock there, and water comes out again, it's not the physical rock that was moving. It was that spiritual rock that moved. And the water they drank was not ordinary water. They called it spiritual water. So likewise, when you see some of these things, they are allegories of realities. When it spoke about Lucifer, when they said the sons of the morning. Who were the sons of the morning? They were angelic hosts. When the Bible speaks about powers, dominions, might, what do you think it was talking about? Those are angelic hosts. They talk about their different cadres of angelic hosts. And then they said, name that can be named. Those are angels. Now, you people are familiar with cherubim. Now, the angel that came, put one leg on sea, one leg on water, raised his hand to heavens and swore, and several thunders uttered their voices. What is the class of angel he was? Do you know? Tell me. Or what is the name of the angel that will come down from heaven and will bind Satan? One angel, not two. Remember in Daniel? Daniel and his host came to fight the prince of Persia. This one will come, when will he come? I think Balofun. Tie him and throw him into the bottomless pit and walk away. Have you met him before? No, they've not come. We don't know them. So, you see, one thought fair, two thoughts remain. And Satan does not know all the angels in heaven. Copa, don't worry. There are some that will step out and say, I don't know you. Where were you created? Are you asking me, my friend? Or the angel that came down from heaven during the resurrection. There is light shone. And everybody there fell down as dead. One angel. Oh, but Jesus shared that testimony when he was talking with Lucifer. I said, when they killed Jesus, they felt that they had ended this program. So later they realized that it was a mistake they made. They shouldn't have crucified him. That he played them into that move. And he said he was going to rise on the third day. So they felt that the only way they could stop Jesus from resurrecting was to amass the whole Jerusalem and his grave. That when the time clock, bam, if he misses that and he does not connect back with his body, it's finished. He will hang in that realm. He will be a bodiless and he will not be able to be the Christ. So the whole something will... So it was not just physical... We saw physical centurions. But behind them were demon entities. They gathered there. So just before the daybreak, just before the time for Jesus' resurrection, they said the angels began to sing songs in the heavens. They were watching them and they said, well, if you guys attempt to come down, they will level the old Jerusalem. It was a angelic conflict. The second angelic conflict that made the earth to be without form and void. So when angels fight, it spills into the natural. Yeah, are you with me? He said, when they finished singing, one angel just stepped out of their midst, one angel with the glory of God, and touched their head. That was where the first falling under anointing started. The guy was just touching their head, and they were all falling, including Lucifer. He said, they were all falling. Then he carried the stone, threw it away, and Jesus came, entered his body, and that was it. So when they saw Jesus enter his body, they knew it was over. Everybody scattered to their house. So there are angels, there are entities, they are all written there in the Bible, they are all hidden there. You can see them if you look well enough. So when I said that he was in the midst of stones of fire, these are the type of angelic, they call them the burning ones, seraphims. Rebecca has thought on that. If you're not here, I don't know what I can do for you. Maybe you can ask him, he has the key to the angelic, praise God. Sure, you understand, those cherubims, those hierarchies, those configurations. But there's something I think we need to learn. In this kingdom, we must learn how to walk with the angelic host. There is a synergy between us and them. We will not bring this to pass until we learn that synergy and walk with them. An angel was sent to Hagin, and Hagin didn't pay attention. He was talking with Jesus. No, Hagin is just like a Nigerian. You like talking to the boss. You don't talk to the other people, you just talk to the boss. And that angel, mighty, massive angel was behind Jesus. And he was beckoning to his attention, but you know, Mumbao Gasoro. So I guess Jesus now told him, he said, he has a message from you from God. I said, but hey, where will be now? Well, no. Because God follows protocol. He follows protocol. And Jesus was not going to break it. He said, listen to him. So he now turned his eyes. He said, I've been trying to get your attention, but you have not paid the attention. He said, I've been sent from God for your ministry. And he began to give him instructions about the next phase of his ministry. That angel was one that was propelling his ministry. You need to learn more about them so that you can cooperate.
Thank you, sir. I think that's okay. Now, somebody asked a question. I'm going to be answering this question with just one answer, or so that we, to save time. He said, as a student, how do I pay tithe? How do you receive your income? You want me to tell you that as a student, you don't need to pay tithe? Pay your tithe the way you receive your income. As far as you have an income, pay it the way you receive your income. God bless you. Somebody say, can we conclude that there are some that I will not read if it does not. He said, can we conclude that for a man to be born again, there is no need or necessity for being baptized with water? Praise God. See, let me tell you this. Though the fathers are in the house, they may say what I have said is wrong. I know. Now, listen to this. The concept of baptism was a new thing when John brought it. There was nothing like, he said, except he was baptizing them in the water and he was remitting their sins through water baptism. He was remitting their sins through water baptism. But the remittance of sin came as a result of the blood that was shed at Calvary. Praise God. So the remittance of sin comes as a result of the blood that was shed at Calvary. So it does not really matter. As far as you are born again, if you have not gone through water baptism, it had nothing to you. I don't know if I am accurate. Praise God. Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to correct so that they won't go back home with something
people get born again on deathbed and they make heaven. But baptism, if you have the chance to do it, please go ahead and do it. It's good. But that should not place guilt upon one's conscience because I have not done that. But it's a good thing that anything Jesus says, we should do it. Jesus also baptized with water. Apostles baptized with water. So that some people will not go home and say, Pastor Bello say, you shouldn't baptize us all. Please.
Thank you very much. Praise God. So it's not a crime if you do it. If you have the time to do it, go and do it. If you have the opportunity to do it. Somebody said that, can you please expatiate more about the parable of the wedding banquet in Matthew 22, 1 to 14? That's it. That tosses on its own. But let me quickly conclude that, of course, the man without wedding garment, I know that's the question. The man without wedding garment, there are many people that think that they are in the kingdom. The Bible says that, I knew you not, for your work is full of iniquities. They are there. They are doing great things. They have congregations. They have large crowds. They are in the banquet. Do you understand? They have names on heart, but they don't have name in heaven. I think that's just a teaching to the ministry gifts, especially those that have not aligned with the kingdom pattern. Praise God. I don't know if that is okay. Okay. Praise God. And God is leading me to a person under him, and I'm sure, and you are sure, but I really don't like the person. What do I do? Go and like him and submit to him. Praise God. Just go and like him by force and submit to him. Now, according to 2 Timothy 3:5, what does the Bible refer to? Having form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. For such, turn away. Praise God. He was talking about hypocrisy. Hypocrisies. That's hypocrisy. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. There are a lot of people in the house that have that kind of form. Form. It's not godliness. It's a form. You understand? It looks like it, but it's not exactly it. When you say having a form, it's not exactly what godliness is all about. But they think that is the godliness, but it's not godliness. Now, for example, putting your scarf without earring and so on, it looks like form of godliness, but it's not godliness. Okay? It is not godliness. Also, when Bible is talking about form of godliness, it's something that is a type, but it's not exactly it. Praise God. I move on. It is said that no man has ever seen God. So how come people die and claim that they saw God? And how true is it? I'm not there. They said they saw God. Go and ask them. Praise God. It's not me. Go and ask them. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I think we have a teaching in this church that you need to get a tape. You need to get a tape. Because it was illustrated now that the fact is that Moses talked to God mouth to mouth, from mouth to mouth, okay, from mouth to mouth. That is not an indication that he saw God. Do you understand? That's not an indication that he saw God. He spoke to, he said, who among you, like my servant Moses, who speak to me mouth to mouth? That, because God said that no one has ever seen God except the first begotten of the Father. Except the first begotten. So, if Moses spoke with God mouth to mouth, and Jesus Christ came and that he did not see God. So, these men, is either they are lying to the congregations, or they are lying to themselves. Praise God. I've never believed any of them that, hey, I saw God. God said this and that and so on and so forth. And they come with all another form of doctrine that is quite different from, and people follow them. And you know what they do? They sell tape. They sell cassettes out of it. They are businessmen. From such, depart. God bless you. John 15:6. Can you quickly project John 15:6? Quickly, please. Okay. If a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Praise God. I think it's allegory, and it's very clear. A tree has many branches. The survival of that branch depends on the stem, the main stem. Okay? If the branch does not abide with the stem, what happens? It got withered. So we are all branches of Christ. And our survival hinges on our abiding with His supply. He's the one who gives us supply. If we abide with those supply, we will survive. But we don't abide with those supplies, we'll be withered and we'll be cast away. So it's simple. It's allegory. Praise God. Okay. Thank God, Reverend Kay is here. He said we were taught about sacrifices of the kingdom yesterday. And I'd like to ask her, I'd like to ask, sir, what does it mean to be a poor spirit? Abba. How can you be asking? Are you Nicodemus? It's Nicodemus that has that kind of. He said, you have stayed so much in the kingdom. You are an elder in the kingdom, and yet you don't know this thing. How can a man have a poor spirit? A poor spirit is the spirit that is ready to learn. A broken spirit that is able to repent of evil. He's not ashamed. He's broken. When the word of God comes, is broken. Brokenness is a poor spirit. It's not a spirit that is hardened. They speak the word, the heart is still hardened. You are not a poor spirit. A spirit that has a conceived knowledge of himself and is still in. He's not ready to take anything again. That's not a poor spirit. A poor spirit is a spirit that thinks that he knows it all. And he does not ready to incline with any other teaching of God. That's not a poor spirit. A poor spirit is the spirit that hears the word of God and it trembles. When you hear the word of God and you begin to tremble, you have a poor spirit. That's a poor spirit. Praise God. What is the balance between church and the kingdom of God? The Holy Spirit will help the message you are about to hear to deal with it in Jesus' name. I think I'm not going to take more than all this because our time is fast spent and this is 10 o'clock. For those of you that are unable to read yours, I just feel that it has been answered. It's not because, thank God, you didn't write your name. So that you won't say, Pastor Bello hates you. Praise God. Father, we are grateful for the word that you have sent to us. Thank you for this question. Thank you for the wisdom and understanding. We ask, O God of glory, that every question in the heart of men, Holy Spirit, answer it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus Christ's name we are praying. Praise God.
If you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit, you can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.
beloved, the Father of Light, is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.